All right. Hey, let's find out what the Bible has to say about this mark of the beast. And so with your copy of God's Word open to Revelation chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 11 through 18 today to determine and to find out what's going on with this false prophet that comes on the scene and the mark of the beast. Folks, deception has always been part of Satan's agenda. In fact, it is his main weapon. To distort and to deceive. He did that all the way back in the beginning of time when Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. You remember how he came up to Eve and he said, "So what's going on around here?" Well, God said we're not supposed to eat from that tree, not supposed to have any of the fruit. And Satan says, "Oh, that's pretty cool. That's great. Hey, God probably knows what he's talking about." And so that's neat. But, you know, did God really say that? And he begins to subtly introduce deception and lies. Not overt, not just simply coming as a dragon with a pitchfork, wearing horns on his head, saying, "You got to disobey God right away." He's not doing that at all. It's subtle deception to lead God's people away from the truth. And we certainly wish that Eve would have said, "You know what? That's exactly what God did say, and I'm not going to stray away from it, not even 2 degrees. And so deception enters the world, and that is what we're going to talk about today. Satan and the art of deception as he works through this false prophet. Now, many false prophets have been on the scene since the beginning of the age, and there are false prophets in the world today, no doubt about that. But at the end of the age, that tribulation period, one will arise who is the consummation of deception. He's going to come alongside the Antichrist from a religious or spiritual perspective to prop him up, to endorse him, and to cause all the world to worship the first beast, the Antichrist. And so let's take a look at this false prophet, what the Bible has to say about him. And then we'll take a look at the mark of the beast. You got your page open? Say amen. Amen. Here we go. The reading of God's Word. Revelation 13, verse 11. This then is what the Word of God says. "And then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast," that is the Antichrist. You know the one whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13, "And he performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast," the Antichrist, "telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived." Verse 15, "And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark," or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. "Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. John now has pictured for us the Antichrist in the first 10 verses. He saw the Antichrist, the first beast, and we have a description of him found in the first 10 verses. Now, something else grabs the apostle's attention, and he says in verse 11, "I saw another beast." The word "another" is alos, one of a similar kind. There is another beast. The word "beast" is therion, a ferocious, ravenous, wild beast. And the picture of a beast, if I told you that I were to come across a beast in the woods, it strikes fear in the heart of the one who sees the beast or hears the story, and rightfully so in this case. Oh, there's a beast similar to the first beast. He's similar, but he's different. He has evil intentions, to be sure. And he saw this other beast coming up out of the land or the earth. Now, speculation has been made about what does it mean that he came up out of the earth? I simply believe that it means to distinguish him from the first beast. First beast came up out of the sea, which represented turmoil and the sea of humanity. And here comes another beast, a different beast, and he comes from the land. He is to be distinguished from the first beast. The second beast is referred to in other places in the book of Revelation, chapter 16, verse 13, chapter 19, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 10, as the false prophet. He's coming from a different angle. It's not militarily, it's not politically, it's a religious angle that he's coming from. And so he comes up out of the earth, and he had two horns compared to the ten horns of the dragon, inspired the dragon who inspired the Antichrist, who has ten horns. He comes on the scene. I want you to notice this in your scripture, like a lamb. Now, if I were to bring out a lamb up here and have him stand right here, everyone in this room would go, "Oh, isn't he cute?" You think of a lamb, you think of something that's endearing, something that's pleasant to the eye, something that couldn't harm anybody. Oh, this false prophet is going to come on the scene like a lamb. The world's going to be attracted to him. They're going to like him. They're going to trust him. This is the masterpiece of deception. You know, Jesus warned us about deception, didn't he? In fact, as it speaks about lamb here, the word lamb is used 29 times in the book of Revelation. 28 of those times it's talking about Jesus. Oh, but here's this one that comes in like a lamb. He comes in under the guise of deception. But notice what it says about him. He spoke like a dragon. He might come in and win the hearts of all. He might look good. He might feel good. He might smell good. He might say all the right things. But the reality is, he speaks like a dragon. Beware of those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. How are you going to know them? We're going to find out more about that in just a second. Notice some of the activity of this false prophet. Verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in the presence of the first beast, the Antichrist. He has authority, which has also been given to him by Satan. He is Satan's mouthpiece. He is Satan's puppet from the religious arena. And it says that he has all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes. See that word, he causes? That's used eight times. You see, because of his lamb-like appearance, people are going to trust him, think that he is a trustworthy source, and so they're going to listen and follow. And so eight times in our text today, he causes. He's leading people down this road of deception. You can just picture it. He's leading. He's causing the whole world to go after the Antichrist. He's causing the whole world to go after this lie that Antichrist is the Messiah. He causes the whole world, as it says right here, all who dwell on the earth to worship the first beast, the Antichrist. You know the one. We've already talked about him. He's the one whose deadly or fatal or mortal wound was healed. That miraculous or apparently miraculous resurrection of the Antichrist, which will cause him to gain popularity. Now, the false prophet performs great signs. Let me get everybody to say, ooh, yeah. Oh, he's going to have great signs that accompany his ministry. Apparently, doing miracles, these mega semeion, these signs. And that's the same word for signs that Jesus did. And they're going to say, hey, this is validating what he's saying. He's got power. We need to follow after this guy. Folks, it is deception. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of all men. What in the world is he talking about? I don't know. It is what it says it is. I don't know if this is all the appearance of the miraculous. I don't know how he does it, but he has somehow been granted ability to have great pyrotechnics that he apparently makes these miracles happen, and fire falls down from heaven in the sight of all men, and all the world is going to go, ooh. But folks, just because you can perform a great sign, just because you look like a lamb, doesn't mean you stand for or speak the truth. Jesus warned us about that. Notice the first few words in verse 14 of your Bible. It says, and, speaking of the false prophet, he deceives. He deceives. How's he going to do that? Through these great signs. Through his appearance as a lamb, he is going to deceive. Now, you remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He warned us about deception. He said, take heed, be careful, that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. That great lie that the Antichrist is going to spread, that he is the true Messiah. This false prophet's going to come on the scene and direct people to worship him as the true Messiah. And they will perform miracles and say great things and appear to be harmless. Jesus said, do not be deceived. Folks, there are many deceivers in the world today. In 1 John 3:7, the apostle warned us. He said, little children, let no one deceive you. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 and 3, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. There are those who are going to deceive. How can you spot a false prophet? Well, you remember what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:15. He said about false prophets, by their fruit you will know them. How many of y'all ever heard that before where it says, by their fruit you'll know them, okay? A lot of times we like to quote that out of context and talk about somebody's salvation. By their fruit, they'll know them. But in the context of what Jesus was talking about, he's talking about how to identify a false prophet. Now, if you know the Word and you've pored over the Word and the Word is poured into you, you know the truth, you can be listening to late night TV and hear those guys who are supposedly evangelists, supposedly who are spokesmen for God, and you'll listen to them. They sound good. Woo, they sound so good. They look so nice. They're so wonderful. And if you listen closely, by their fruit, by what they say and teach, okay? You spot a false prophet by what he says and what he teaches. And you take what he's saying, not how he looks, not his title, not the fact that he's the senior pastor of a big church. That doesn't mean anything. This is what means something. And so now you're listening carefully. And if you know this word and he says something contrary to this word, you have just successfully spotted a false prophet. But folks, you will not succeed if you don't know the Word, if you're not pouring into the Word on a regular basis, not just Sunday morning. So I'm pleading and I'm begging you, I'm encouraging and challenging you that you have got to be in this holy, eternal Word or you will fall for something. Okay, that's the truth. You're not exempt from falling for something. The worst thing you can do is go, ah, I know a little bit about it. I'm fine. Folks, if you don't stay in the Word, you're going to be deceived. Now, I was watching a late night news show that was doing a documentary on deception and how sex offenders deceive children. And they came alongside some of the parents. These are good guys. And they said, we want to demonstrate something. Would you mind if we approached your child and talked to them to see if we could lure them away? And the parents said, well, hey, it's not going to work on my child. I have worked with my child. My child knows not to speak to strangers. My child knows not to get in the car or go away with somebody they do not know. All right. Hey, these guys knew what they were doing. And so with hidden microphones and hidden cameras, they go out to the playground and they speak to children. And these children who had been warned not to talk to strangers, 20 seconds later, here they go. Man, they're going right down there, getting in the car and taking off. Yeah. They were deceived. These guys knew what they were doing. They come up and they look good. These are nice guys, nice, normal looking guys. And man, they come up and they got the story. My puppy is in my car and he hurt his leg. Could you just come over just for a second to help me out? Would that be okay? Could you just help me for a second with my little puppy that hurt his leg? And the kids just run right over. They forget everything that they had heard and they are deceived and they fall for it. Now, folks, that is a real tragedy that is going on in the world today. But let me suggest to you a far greater tragedy is happening on a spiritual and an eternal level with Satan and false prophets who are deceiving people today. Oh, maybe you've met some of them. Maybe they come to your door and they're wearing black pants and a white shirt and a little name tag. And they say, we come from the Church of Latter-day Saints. And man, these little guys look good. They're handsome young men who have actually been deceived themselves, and they come from the Mormon church, and they want to tell you about how good God is. They want to tell you about how you can discover this, and you can grow in your faith, and you can have all these wonderful things in the Mormon church. Yeah, they even have their Bible, and another Bible, another three actually. Folks, if you know this word, you let them start speaking, and you're going to say, wait a second, that's not true. Another folk come to the door. They're the Jehovah's Witnesses. Man, they seem to know the Bible. They tell you they believe in Jesus Christ. They tell you they believe the Bible. They look good, sound good. They behave themselves so well. They're even concerned about your well-being. Folks, it is a lie. And if you know the truth, you're not going for Mormonism. You're not going for the Jehovah's Witnesses. You're not going to go for all of the many false prophets and false teachings that are out there in the world. Believe me, they're not going to come with horns on. It's just a subtle shift away from the truth. If they can just subtly get you to shift away from the truth, even for a good cause. My dog broke his leg. He's just a little puppy. Just give me a second of your time. Be careful. Jesus warned us. The apostles warned us. The Bible warns us to be on guard. And you can only do that, listen to me, if you know the word of truth, then you will not be deceived. Now, goes on to talk about, let's go on back in chapter 13. He says, do not be deceived. And he says about the false prophet. And the false prophet, he deceives those who dwell on the earth. That's that technical phrase to talk about those who are lost, those who will not be saved. They love the world and the things of the world. He deceives those who dwell on the earth, not a reference to believers, by those signs by which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. How many of you remember that God told us not to do that? Yeah, see, there you go. You're thinking now. He starts saying, hey, that's a big no-no. God said don't do it, and I actually believe what God says. I think God tells me what's best for me, even if it hurts sometimes, that I need to have radical obedience to God. And right here, he says that he's going to cause those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. Oh, you know the one who was wounded by the sword and the one who lived. Yeah, that's him, the Antichrist. Let's make an image to the Antichrist. And this false prophet was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Wait a second. Now, how is he going to pull that off? I don't know. But let's don't say more than the Bible says right here. Now, I know in old times they used to have these images that were made, and they would have people crawl up in them to give them a voice or cause them to move, and they would deceive the people. And if you've ever seen a magician, they're able to do things that I can't explain. It totally appears to be magic, but we know it's not. And so here we have an apparent miracle. I don't know if it's a hologram or some type of a manifestation of computer-generated images. Who knows? But whatever it is, the whole world is going to think that this image that's been made for the Antichrist has now come to life. Deception is the name of the game. And this seems to authenticate the ministry of the false prophet so that he gains power and popularity. He's more trustworthy in it than he was before. And so he's given power to give breath to the image, and the beast, the image of the beast, should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, easy for us today, in an arena where there is no persecution, how many of you would say today that you worship the one true and living God of the Bible and Him alone? How many of you would make that statement? All right, you're safe to do that. God has directed us to do that. We don't worship angels. We don't worship anything else. God has made that clear to us that we worship only God. And now, here in these latter times with deception, He is going to cause all the world to worship the image of the beast. Now, I'm going to have you turn one place in your Bible today other than Revelation 13, and that is Daniel chapter 3. Very quickly, Daniel chapter 3. It's very reminiscent of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it teaches us how to say no to deception. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has an ego trip, and he builds this large image, this image of gold out in the plain of Dura. And he makes a decree that everybody has to bow down and to worship the image. And there we go in chapter 3, verse 12. But there were certain Jews who held to their faith without compromise. Maybe there's one or two of you in here that would hold to your faith without compromise. Amen? How about you, Mr. Eric? Would you hold to your faith without compromise? Well, here we go. We got some young teenagers that are going to be put on the spot. And the word comes, says, there are certain Jews whom you've set up over the affairs of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid you due regard. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and a fury, he gave a command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them, saying, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? If you're ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and all symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I've made, then good. But if you do not worship this image, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a fiery furnace. I'm going to kill you if you don't worship this image. And who is this God who will deliver you from my hands? To which they reply, I'm glad you asked. Been wanting to have an opportunity to tell you, O king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able. Now, you got to memorize that passage right there, because some of you are facing hard times with your work, with relationships, with your health, whatever it is that you're going through. That's what you need to know, that you can trust God. I don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but I trust God. And I do know this, our God, my God, who I serve, He is able. Amen. How many of you know we got an awesome God? How many of you know our God is awesome and He is able? And so these young teenagers, they're just letting this world dictator know the truth. Here's what you need to know, King. In the big scheme of things, you're really not anybody important. God's important. And our God, who we serve, He is able to deliver us from, and you fill in the blank about your situation in life, okay? He is able to deliver you from, now in the case here, from the fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O King. from an eternal perspective, for sure. But if he chooses not to deliver us from this immediate situation, and we go ahead and have cancer, or financial difficulty, or troubles with relationships, or persecution for our faith, whatever it may be, if that's going to be the case, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods. We will not serve false gods regardless of the cost. Nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Isn't that good? I'll jump since y'all are sitting. That's good. You got teenagers who are making a stand and saying, bring it on. Give us the worst, because regardless of how bad it gets, I am not going to compromise my integrity. I'm not going to compromise my faith. I'm not going to stop keeping on worshiping and serving my God. What is it in your life today that's causing you to slow down, to give up, that Satan's having victory in your life, to say, oh, it's not that important to serve God, to worship God, to do what God has spelled out so clearly in Scripture? What angle is it that Satan's having an impact in your life? Would you stand up today and just say, no longer am I going to compromise from what the Word of Truth tells me God wants me to do. I'm going to be faithful because God is worthy of my faithfulness. Amen? And so these young teenagers set the example. And even at the expense of willing to give their lives, they say, we will not compromise. And I pray that is the strength of the believers who live during the time of Antichrist and the false prophet, because there's going to be a worldwide decree that they have to worship the image of the beast, or they're going to pay for it with their lives. Many will lose their lives. Folks, if you're not marked by the beast, and you're marked with belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, but it will cost you your life. And so he goes on and he says in verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. What in the world is that? Do I think it's actually a mark that says 666 right here and 666 right here? Absolutely not. It's going to be so much more subtle than that. It's going to have to be a crisis in the world that we've got to do something. And here's the solution. I've got a suggestion. How many of you guys have heard about terrorism? How many of you like to get rid of terrorism? I got a solution. How many of you heard about identity theft and financial fraud? You heard about that? Got a solution. I got a solution. We'll get rid of that. Hey, I got another idea. How many of you heard about murder and rape and all the atrocities going on in the world today? I can help. Got a solution. It's going to get rid of that. You've heard of GPS and all the information. Hey, how about something about the size of one piece of rice? This technology exists already in the world today. People are using it already, not only in animals, but in human beings. They just put it right there on the right hand. You can put it right under the skin on the forehead, somehow designating that you have obeyed and received a mark. Because you see, if I got that with a little GPS system, you know what? There was a murder down the road away. And I want to find out who did it. Well, let's just track it in. Who was in this location during this time of the night? Oh, that's number 4268421. And let's find out where. Oh, wow, he's already fleed. There he is. He's down there in Florida. Let's go pick him up. He's your culprit. When people find out about how the technology of the world can prevent crime, it can increase our security. We'll get rid of murder. We'll get rid of rape. We'll get rid of robbery. We'll get rid of terrorism. We'll get rid of all the problems. If there's an accident on Capitol Boulevard, somebody's hurt, you just run over there, you scan him real quick, you'll find out everything he's allergic to, what blood type he is, and you'll be able to administer care a lot more quickly. You see, all the solutions are bound up in today's technology. One's going to come on the scene in the time of crisis and present that viable option. It is just around the corner. The Antichrist, the false prophet, are going to use the crisis of the world's financial troubles, terrorism, the economy, security, and as the Bible says, when they are shouting peace and security, here they come, and they're going to deceive and cause all to receive a mark of the beast. Scary times. We're in them. The world will become an electronic concentration camp immediately right in front of our very own eyes. And folks, you will not be able to, as it says right here in verse 17, buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You can't buy gas for your car. You can't have a home. You can't have insurance. You can't have anything. You can't buy food. You can't sell food. You can't have a job because you have to have that mark. And that mark will be tracked by GPS, and it'll have all your information. It will be an electronic concentration camp that the world will be under Antichrist and the one world government and the one world religion. And so everybody's going to receive their mark, which has the number of his name. Verse 18. Now here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of what? It is the number of a man. Well, in the Bible, what is the number of a man? Somebody actually got it right on the interview and said it is the number 6. Now, so much speculation has been made about this mark of the beast. What is the 666? Well, let's just take a look at what the Bible says and be more careful to notice what the Bible doesn't say. In fact, throughout all the ages, people have assigned numerical values to letters. A equals 1, B equals 2, and so on. We've talked about that before. All throughout the history, and when you start assigning numbers to letters, you can get very clever. In fact, Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters. He's the Antichrist. That's what some thought. Some have said about Pharaoh, and some have said about Nero, and every Caesar, and every Pope. If you manipulate the numbers and set up your own coding system, you can get everybody to be a 666. Oh, Hitler was a big culprit. Back in his time, he seemed to actually be the one, along with many others, Henry Kissinger, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and every president and every worldwide leader has been accused of being the Antichrist. Folks, we do not know. The Bible teaches us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that until the restrainer, the Holy Spirit, is removed, not from the world, but in his restraining influence through the church, until he's removed, we will not see the lawless one, the man of sin, revealed. At that time, he's also going to sign a covenant with Israel. So we're not going to know through deciphering codes who the Antichrist is. But certainly, I happen to believe that when the Antichrist is known, there will be an appropriate numbering system that can somehow associate him with 666. What's a better way to understand our text? I'll give you a simple definition here, an explanation, and then we'll close. Folks, the number 6 is the number of man. Number 1 has to deal with unity. You know, when a couple gets married, the two become one. It's a number of unity. The number 2 in Scripture is also seen as a number of strength. Two is better than one. It's a show of strength. 3 in the Scripture speaks about God, the triune God that we worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The number 4 speaks of the earth, the north, the east, the west, and the south. When you watch the news, north, east, west, south, you're getting information about what's going on in the earth. It talks about the four corners or the four winds of the earth. And when you get to number 7, it speaks about completeness or perfection. It's also been associated with a divine number. It represents God, if you want to look at it from that perspective. And 6 has been assigned as the number of man. It is one short of God. It is short of perfection. It falls short. It is the number of a man. When we want to reiterate God and his holiness, what do we say? Holy, 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 to reiterate the character of God. When we want to reiterate the fallen nature of man, evil, sin, and wickedness that is associated with man falling short, we give him the number 6, unholy. Unholy, unholy, unholy is the number of this one, the mark of the beast. The Antichrist will be unholy, 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 wicked, wicked, wicked. It is reiterating that he is the ultimate man falling short of who God had us to be. That is the number of the beast. Don't say more than the Bible says. We're not going to know his identity through some number system. But it is expressing the evil nature of this one who comes on the scene. Now, if you want to go to the website, I have 10 things that I want you to know about the false prophet that I did not cover today. 10 facts about the false prophet and his activity. That'll be online with the sermon as well. Next week, we get to cover how God marks his people. In contrast to Antichrist marking his people, God marks his people through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see those who are marked for the Lord when we get into chapter 14 next week. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you for a time to consider your word. Lord, we see here these two beasts, the Antichrist and the false prophet, who are Satan's puppets, who will work to deceive them. He will deceive all those who dwell on the earth, except those who are yours, O God. Father, help us to not be deceived, to not be fooled. Through your word, through your Holy Spirit, give us wisdom. Father, I thank you for a time to go through the text today. And I pray, O God, protection over this sweet family of believers, that we would be a people of your word who would know the truth, and that the truth would set us free and protect us, protect our families, protect our children, O God, from ones who would deceive. I thank you that we've been given a means by which to protect ourselves, the eternal word of God. Father, bless this study to our hearts and our understanding. We entrust it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.